We're going to be looking at that passage that I read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So if you have a Bible in front of you and you'd like to turn it up, then please do. It's the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians. And I'm afraid I don't have a page number. So if you're not quite sure which page it is. 1174. Thank you very much. Page 1174. And let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise that in your goodness to us, you have preserved this letter that you inspired Paul to write to the Ephesians. We thank you that in it we have words directly from you, that all of it is yours, and that you breathed it out through Paul. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would give us minds to understand and hearts to believe what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder what effect Easter has in our lives. I wonder what effect Easter has. Well, it could have a number of different effects, couldn't it? The opportunity for an extended break in the middle of the spring. Perhaps chance to do gardening or DIY. Or maybe the effect of Easter is a slightly wider waistline and lots of cardboard recycling after all the eggs. But Easter has much more of an effect than that too, doesn't it? Easter has a spiritual effect. So for those of us who trust in Jesus, sin was dealt with on the cross. Christ was raised to life from the dead. What great benefits those are. And of course, we are caught up with Christ as he is raised from the dead. So those with faith in Christ are in Christ, raised from the dead. And all of the New Testament letters assume the good news of Easter before they begin. They're written to the churches, to people who are already in Christ. So Paul begins his letter in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to whom? To the saints, those chosen by God out of the world to be his people, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul's writing to people for whom Easter is very, very good news indeed. And the Ephesian Christians were embattled people. I don't know whether you're aware of the background to the letter to the Ephesians, but it's there for us to read at another time in Acts chapter 19 and 20, where Paul goes to Ephesus and all sorts of scary spiritual things begin to happen as he preaches the gospel. All sorts of things that just weren't commonplace and still aren't commonplace as the gospel made inroads into a pagan world. The defining thing of the city of Ephesus was the great Temple of Artemis. And the Temple of Artemis sat on a hill overlooking Ephesus. You could see it from everywhere. And from it, you could see all of Ephesus. And Artemis was a goddess, and the economy of Ephesus was built on worship of this goddess. People coming there to Ephesus to worship her, and people believing, really believing, that it was Artemis who gave them the prosperity that they had as a port city, an important port city in the Roman Empire. Of course, when a few people became Christians, the city folk of Ephesus were furious because another god was being proclaimed. What would happen to their trade? What would happen to their city? Would it disappear? And there was a riot in Ephesus, and the Christians were embattled. They were scared. Yes, they knew the good news of Easter, But would it really work out in their lives? And that's a good question for us, isn't it? We know the good news of Easter. But will that really work out in our lives? Does God have a plan for us? And we find out by reading these first few verses in Ephesus, in the letters to the Ephesians, that indeed God did have a plan for those Christians in Ephesus. God had a plan, not just for them, but for the entirety of creation. And he outlines it in these fantastic verses at the beginning of Ephesians. He tells the Ephesians the amazing news of God's plan, the deep, long-lasting, wide, universal plan of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I hope that we're going to be encouraged that Easter and the news of Easter has plans in God's will for things beyond our imagination. So first of all, we're going to look at verses 1 to 10, and we're going to think about the fact that we have all the benefits of being God's adopted children because of Jesus' death and resurrection. So look with me at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. These scared Ephesians, who every time they looked out of their house couldn't help but see the Temple of Artemis, are being told here that they have every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Christ who died and rose again and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. They have every spiritual blessing in him. The question they were asking was, well, what about those spiritual blessings that all of our friends who worship this goddess have in Artemis? Well, if every spiritual blessing is found in Christ, there is no spiritual blessing outside of Christ, is there? The Ephesian Christians, because they are included in Christ by faith, had every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, how did they get that? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will. One of the scary things about looking forward as our lives map out in our mind's eye ahead of us as Christians, and particularly for the Ephesians, but also for us, is this. Will we last the course as Christian? When all the pressures of the world come in, pressures from other people saying, oh, you don't really believe that, do you? Pressures in our own lives, when lives get busy and sometimes church is a struggle to get to. When we start thinking, how come not every Christian is happy all the time or rich or wealthy? And there are plenty of people who aren't Christians who are. Well, that's why this verse 4 and verse 5 is such good news. Because staying Christian for the Ephesians and for us didn't depend on them and doesn't depend on us. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. You see, before the Ephesians were Christians, they were spiritually dead. They were spiritual corpses. And anybody who's ever seen a dead body, anybody who's perhaps somebody works in the medical world or has come across a dead body of a person or an animal, we know that they can't do anything for themselves. which is why God chose the Ephesians before the creation of the world. They couldn't choose God for themselves because they were spiritually dead. Verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Didn't just choose the Ephesians to be lined up in a class of Christians. He chose them to be his family. I know a number of people who are adopted children, and they are legally and relationally the children of their adoptive parents. They have all the rights of a child who would have been born naturally to those parents. They are their children. And the Ephesian Christians are God's children. Legally, he has declared it, and relationally, they know him, and he knew them. And the same for us. If we are trusting in Jesus, God has chosen us, has predestined us to be his children, and it's him who keeps us Christian and has made us legally his. So come what may in the future, come all the difficulties of life, come all of the pressures of not following Christ, God will keep us going because we are his children. Verse 7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, the good news of Easter is that Jesus' blood has bought Christians back. The price of blood, the wages of sin, have been paid by Jesus for all of those who trust in him. And the idea of being redeemed, redemption through his blood, is the picture is from the slave market or the pawnbrokers. That there's a person or an object that have been sold into the ownership of somebody else and then bought back, redeemed, restored through the payment of Jesus' blood. And verse 9, and God made known to us the mystery of his will. The good news of Easter isn't just out there and factual. It's also in our minds, in our hearts. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. How? Through the revelation of the gospel, through his holy word. And the good news of his will is verse 10. He will bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. God's great plan for all people, for all Christians, is to know Christ, and for all things is to bring everything to obedience under him. You see, Christ has been made our king because of his death and his resurrection and his ascension. He is the king of the whole universe. And as Christians, we know that king. We have been adopted into his family. We are his children. And we are central to his plan. Verses 11 to 14. Our status as God's children is signed, sealed, and delivered. Verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel. So by faith, the Ephesians, and by implication, we have been chosen and heard the gospel, and therefore are included in Christ. Because we've believed, And therefore, we've been marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God has given us his Holy Spirit to live within us as a down payment of eternal life with him. You see, in the book of Revelation, we read that God's people will live with God in perfect relationship with him and with each other, in God's complete presence. But of course, we live in a broken world, don't we? A world that's ravaged by the effects of sin and death. And yet, God has given to us, to live within us, his Holy Spirit, God himself, living within us now. And because God lives within us, we're guaranteed to be with him forever. You see, once God has made a decision about his people, about us, he can't change his mind. He won't change his mind. We are his, guaranteed. And he has come to live within us. So God has a plan for all of creation to bring things into the obedience of Christ. And he has signed and sealed those who trust in Jesus as his people forever. But it's not all about us. It's actually about God's glory. And to start with, that sounds a bit difficult, doesn't it? That it might be about God and God's doing things for himself. But actually, it's wonderful that it's about God's glory. Because God loves to reveal his glory to his creation and particularly to his adopted children. And look with me at the end of verse 6. Verse 6 says, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Let's start at the beginning of verse 12. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. And verse 14, the very end there, to the praise of his glory. You see, God wants his glory to be seen by everybody everywhere. And he will do all he can in order that we will see his glory, because that's good for us. It's what we were created to do, to see God's glory, to worship him, to praise him. And yet, God will not change his mind on that. We will see his glory, and we do see his glory, and we are caught up in his glory forever, guaranteed in his plan. So the good news of Easter is that God has a plan that has been guaranteed in Christ. That we are caught up in his plan. That we are signed, sealed, and delivered as his people. And we know that this is good for us because we see God's glory. We are made to be the people we are supposed to be, with a glorious future with him in heaven. So the good news of Easter goes way beyond all we could possibly hope or imagine, that we are God's people now and forever through faith in Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan. We thank you for your plan to bring all things under Christ. And we thank you for your plan for us, that you've guaranteed it for us. through the deposit of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you will never change your mind, because your glory is the centre of your plan. And we pray that we will be confident Christians, knowing that our place with you depends on you and your certain plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our next hymn.